In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
My sisters, in today's gospel reading, the Lord had a conversation with a young man about perfection. The man was seeking to be perfect, and the Lord gave him teaching about how he could do so. Perfection is something that today in our world, we don't seek really too much anymore. In fact, we kind of think it's bad to be a perfectionist. We shouldn't aspire to these heights, to these ideals. We shouldn't hold ourselves accountable. We should just accept mediocrity. And that doesn't work so well, though, in certain aspects of our life. If you're cooking up a steak on the grill, you want it to be cooked to perfection. I'm sorry for that example. In fact, you go to the bowling alley, no one aims to bowl a 35, they aim to bowl a 300. If you're pitching a game, you want 27 up, 27 down, that perfect game. In things like health, you want to be perfectly healed. You want perfect peace and freedom and happiness and truth and love and goodness in the world. We should aspire to these things. The perfectionist fails, though, when the standard of perfection is wrong. An example might be, in my own life, I have a practice of trying, when I rarely do the dishes, when guests are over and I need to show them I'm helping out, I wash the dishes before I put them in the dishwasher. Now, maybe other people do that too. But it would reach the level of OCD if I wash them again after they came out. Something is wrong there. I don't understand the measure of perfection. Or if I'm a pitcher at a home run derby and I'm trying to strike everyone out, that's not my function. The questions that this man asked are not trivial. They're of the utmost importance. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And then he asks, "What do I lack? What is missing in my quest for perfection?" The man, though, was not happy. In fact, it says in the gospel that he went away sad. Why was he sad? Did he ask the wrong question? No. Well, maybe he asked the question of the wrong person. Well, no. Christ is God incarnate. Maybe he got the wrong answer. Well, no. Christ speaks the truth in love like no one ever. What was wrong? Not the question, not the person he asked, not the answer. What was wrong was his heart. What he heard made perfect sense in his mind, and the grace that he received from Christ was filling his mind, and it started to go down into his heart, but it got into a bottleneck. It wasn't able to make it all the way down into the heart, that grace. His heart was closed. It was like a camel trying to go through the eye of a needle. And he went away sorrowful. Blessed Theophylact says of this eye of the needle, this love of money, that money, he says, is stickier than glue. Think about Gorilla Glue or Crazy Glue. Money is stickier than that. And this eye of the needle that was covering his heart was coated with this love of money, this glue. And the grace couldn't descend into the heart. In today's sermon, I'd like to speak about two principles that can help us get rich. Super rich. Not filthy rich, but rich in purity and godliness. But first, we have to understand these principles in an earthly sense before we can understand them in a heavenly sense. Two principles on how to get rich, in an earthly way or in a godly way. One, delayed gratification. Who's heard that? What is delayed gratification? The definition. The process that a subject undergoes when the subject resists the temptation of an immediate reward in preference for a later reward. An example of that. You go to work, you get paid, you get your check in the mail. You decide, all right, what am I going to do with this? I could put it in the bank, or I could invest it and it could create some interest for me, and then later I'll have more. Or I can go down to the boardwalk and play skee ball all day. And it's all gone. Delayed gratification is the wise decision to maximize our wealth, our riches. So we postpone so that we might have an increase. The second principle, though, is summarized with this statement. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. That means what you've got is of greater value than what you could possibly have but aren't assured of. Why? Because there's risk in that. So take what you've got now. You're not going to have it perhaps later. And in a sense, these two principles balance one another. Picture a person on a seesaw. They're right in the middle and they're trying to balance these two principles. Delayed gratification, or the enjoyment of what you're certain you have because you have it in the present. This is how we can succeed in material things. And in some way, it's kind of how we can succeed in spiritual things too. Doesn't the Lord say, sell what you have and give alms? Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Lord is telling us to invest in our future, in eternal life, by taking the things that we've got now and giving to others who don't have them. Delayed gratification. Very hard thing to do. Should we implement that in our life? This quote, by the way, was not from today's gospel. Sometimes we think the command that the Lord gave to sell and give to the poor was only for this guy. No, the command for this guy was sell all that you have and give to the poor. The command for everyone else is sell what you have. Not everything. But sell what you have. This is the way for all of us as Christians. So, there's some risk involved though, because I've got a bird in my hand. I don't know about the kingdom. It's coming, right? Well, maybe. There's a chance of it. It's a little risky to kind of put this into practice. Certainly to put it into practice like the Lord told the man today, everything. So, maybe I'm not going to do that. I'm going to find some other way that I can hedge my bet. Well, what's one way I can do that? There's the Old Testament tithe. I'm going to take 10%, and I'm going to use that in a godly way. And the other 90, that's for me. Perhaps we go to a wealth manager who will give us a different kind of equation, where there's a certain maybe percentage that goes for godly use. But really, it's after a long line of other bigger percentages. College, house, or retirement, or vacations, or dining out. And what's left, we'll have a little bit for charity. And sometimes when we have these standards, these equations, we follow them to perfection. We can find some measure of perfection in doing the tithe, or following the equations of our financial advisors. We can be very good at that. And it feels good to succeed, to implement something well. The only problem is when someone comes along with a greater standard and calls us to something higher, we realize maybe what we're doing well isn't good enough. Maybe there's something more that I'm called to. And that was, of course, the case of this man who was wealthy, who was a Jew, who was faithful, who was keeping the law, following the equations, everything was in place, except for his heart. The measure of Christian perfection is love. And with regard to finances, it's called stewardship. Well, if you're going to be a good steward, there are certain requirements that you have to have. You have to be able to add and subtract, right? Basic mathematics. It might even be helpful to have some knowledge of how the financial markets work, how business works, all of these kind of equations, and be able to plug things in. That's actually something you would want in a steward, right? Financial knowledge, know-how. Perhaps, though, the one thing that you would absolutely require of any steward is that the steward remembers whose money they're being a steward over, so that they don't think it's their money. That would be the number one requirement for a steward. To remember that it's not ours, and that there is an owner of this money, and the owner has given us commandments on how we are to administer it. That's the number one requirement for being a steward, to know whose money it is and what we're to do with it. And if we practice our stewardship well as Christians, we will be rewarded, right? Everyone who's employed for a certain task looks forward to payday. And as Christians, are we any different? Do we not look forward to payday? Absolutely. We look forward to payday. What is the payment? When does it come? Well, we say, all right, in the next age. In the kingdom of heaven. When Christ comes back, whenever he does, then we'll be rewarded. No! Brothers and sisters, we've got it all wrong. If we think in that way, we're going to be on a seesaw balancing our earthly possessions with our heavenly riches. And we're going to be stuck on that seesaw trying to find the right balance, the right way. And Christ will go off walking just like he did from this man in today's lesson. Our reward, our payment, is to be walking with Christ. To leave the calculations, to leave the equations, to be people who live in love for God and for our neighbor. To be people whose lives are bound to the life of God, who will sustain and care for us and feed us like the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. That is what is open to us. The reward is to be with Christ. Not later, but now. Today we have a commemoration of two saints. One is the prophet Habakkuk from the 7th century BC, and the other is St. Porphyrius of Mount Athos. I'll share two quick teachings from them that we can apply in today's lesson. First, prophet Habakkuk. He says, "The just shall live by his faith." The just shall live by his faith. And this is a quote, by the way, that appears in Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. St. Paul repeats this quote from the prophet Habakkuk three times to make his case about what Christian life is. The just shall live by faith. Well, what is faith? In Hebrews we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen." The substance of things that we hope for, we don't yet have, the evidence of things not yet seen. We don't see it yet. We don't have it yet. Faith gives it to us now. And what is it that we don't see that we hope for? But the kingdom of God. Faith opens the kingdom of God to us now as concrete evidence within the human heart. The prophet Habakkuk gives us that beautiful line, "The just shall live by his faith." We have to live by our faith to be just. St. Porphyrius of Mount Athos, who reposed in 1991, he's one of our newly glorified saints, he says, "What is paradise? What is eternal life? What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of heaven? What is this that we aspire to? That we seek to be part of? That the man in today's gospel was asking about it. What is this?" He says, "It is Christ." It is Christ. Paradise, eternal life, the kingdom of God begins here and now. Here and now. Another quote from him, which is very beautiful. He says, "Look on all things as opportunities to be sanctified." Look on all things as opportunities to be sanctified. This man in today's gospel reading had many opportunities to be sanctified. How much good could he have done for the Lord, for his neighbor? How much did he have in the bank? 100,000? A million? A few million? Each of those dollars was an opportunity to do something in love. To do something for Christ. Who himself, though he's as God, the possessor of all things, became man and gave up everything for us, even his own life, so that he might make us rich. My sisters, I said today let's talk about ways to get rich. Let's talk about ways to arrive at perfection. We have to understand what riches are, what perfection is, and in whom we find them. The man in today's gospel heard that lesson. It made sense up here. It didn't feel right in here. We have to be people who go beyond the head and enter into the heart. That eye of the needle has to be opened so that that grace can enter and so that love can go out. The joy that he could have experienced passed him by. When? In the next stage? No. Right then. Right there. When he was walking the earth, that's when it passed him by. If we're going to enter into the joy of our Lord, the kingdom of God, eternal life, it happens now. Now is our chance, brothers and sisters. Let us be rich in godliness. Let us walk with Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory forever.